This is the Ontario Family Law Podcast, dealing with issues related to marriage, separation, divorce, and even some child welfare issues. It is a companion to the book, The Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on Amazon or by calling 416-446-5847. My name is John Schumann. I am a family lawyer, mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer, and I am the head of the family law group at Devery Smith Frank, LLP. Today on the podcast, what does the phrase custody of the children really mean? When there are children of a marriage, one of the first things that family lawyers hear most frequently at initial consultations is that the client wants either custody or joint custody of those children. However, it is rare for those same clients to understand what the term custody means. Custody no longer refers to where a child lives. In Ontario family law, the term custody refers to who makes certain decisions with respect to the child. In many cases, if not most cases, those decisions regarding the child are not controversial, and so who has custody makes little difference. When parents separate, there are two important groups of issues in relation to the children that they, as parents, must agree upon, or if they cannot agree, a court or arbitrator must decide. Those two groups of issues are as follows. First, how much time the children will spend with each parent, and when they will spend that time with each parent. This is usually the most important issue to the parents. The second issue is, who will make the big decisions in relation to the child? Those big decisions are decisions related to education, major medical treatment, religious upbringing, and extracurricular activities in which both parents will have to be involved. After separation, it is less common for these decisions to be an issue because they are usually things on which the parties agreed during their marriage or during their relationship. It is the second group of issues that relate to decision-making that are also related to the who has custody. If a parent has sole custody without any other limitations, then that parent can make those decisions in relation to education, medical treatment, religion, and extracurricular activities by him or herself. If the parents have joint custody, then they must make those decisions together. Ironically, it is fairly rare for parents to have a disagreement over what school a child should attend, whether the child should have medical treatment, or what religion the child should be raised in. So for most separated families, who has custody really makes little difference. In high-conflict separations, the parents fight with each other over almost everything. They will fight over issues that they may not have fought over while they were still together. Sometimes they will fight over simple things, like what school the child should go to, just for the point of having the fight. In those cases, joint custody does not work well. Sole custody does not work well where one parent wants the other parent out of the lives of the children. If that parent has sole custody, he or she may use it to make decisions to deprive the children of a relationship with the other parent. For example, that parent may choose to have the children go to a school that is far away from the other parent, or that in some way makes it difficult for the parent to visit the children. Judges try quite hard to keep parents who are not supportive of the children's relationship with the other parent from having sole custody. The judges try either to order joint custody, or they give sole custody to the parent who will facilitate a relationship with both parents. Unfortunately, custody is usually more of a status symbol than a legal necessity. After separation, parents like to say that they have custody of their children. Parents will fight to have that status symbol when they would not have given even a second thought over the same decisions that are made by the person who has custody. For that reason, it's becoming increasingly popular for separation agreements and court orders to not mention the word custody at all. Instead, the agreements or court orders state where the child will be living and when and which each parent gets to make which decisions. When deciding those issues, the court usually looks at what went on during the marriage, in terms of what time the children spent with each parent, and who made the decisions during the marriage. If possible, courts try to leave things the way that they were. The only time that the term custody can be important is with regard to international disputes in relation to a child. If one parent abducts a child to another country, it can make a difference which parent has custody when there are legal proceedings to have that child returned. However, when one parent acts unilaterally to remove a child from the other parent's care, judges in Ontario often do not have concerns about making an emergency custody order in favor of the parent who is left behind. In deciding whether a child should be returned to another jurisdiction, judges in Ontario are also more interested in what the parenting situation looked like before the removal than who had the label of custody. Put another way, when Ontario Family Court judges are considering what parenting orders to make, how the parents parented the child in the past is usually more important than whether one of them has a label of custody. Still, judges and arbitrators are frequently asked to decide which parent should have custody. That is unfortunate because judges usually have a very limited amount of time to spend with the family. They may not see the children at all, and yet the judge is making critical decisions about the rest of the children's lives. It is almost always better for the parents to decide what plan will work best for their children, because they know the children and themselves better than a judge will ever likely get to know them. Arbitrators can sometimes get to know families a little bit better, especially when they act in the role of mediator or arbitrator. But still, their knowledge of the family will never be as good as that of the parents. When deciding which parent should have custody, judges and arbitrators give almost no weight, perhaps no weight at all, to what the parents want. The law requires that when a judge or arbitrator makes a decision in relation to a child, the only thing that matters is what is in the best interest of the child. That is often obvious, but sometimes it requires a greater analysis. When the court must undertake a full analysis of what is in the best interest of a child, there are certain specific factors that it looks at. First are the love, affection, and emotional ties between the child and each of the people claiming custody to the child, usually the parents. Other members of the child's family who reside with the child, most commonly the child's siblings, and persons involved in the child's care and upbringing, such as extended family, friends, or maybe even professional caregivers, teachers, or healthcare providers. Another factor that the judge must consider is the child's views and preferences, if they can be reasonably ascertained. This means that the child must have a clear statement of what he or she wants. It's not up to the parents to go and try to elicit this from the child. This is something the child must have developed on their own. Another factor that must be considered is the length of time that the child has spent in a stable home environment. This can be an important factor in custody and access cases, because what the court looks at is, where has the child been living, for how long have they been living there, and have things been working out? So if a child has been living in one place for a period of time and everything has gone well, the court is reluctant to change things for the child. The situation in which the child is living is often called the, quote, status quo. You will hear that term in court if you go. Judges are very reluctant to change the status quo if things have been going on well. Further, the longer things have been going on well, the more reluctant judges are to change them. This relates to another factor that the judge must consider, and that's the ability of each of the parents to provide for the child. Judges will care which parent can best provide the basic necessities of life and also provide education and guidance for the child. Where a child has special needs, if one parent can provide for those special needs better than the other, this is another important factor that the judge takes into account. All this usually relates to a plan that the parents put forward. Judges, when considering who should have custody, also consider the plans of the parents. So when you're going before a judge to decide who has custody, you should have a plan that addresses all the things that I have just discussed. Judges are also required to consider the permanence and stability of the family unit in which it is proposed that the child lives. So a parent who has a transient lifestyle or who has a number of partners going in and out of their life will have a harder time getting custody. Judges also care about each parent's ability to act as a parent generally. Judges frequently think that someone cannot act as a good parent if that person cannot support the children's relationship with the other parent. Finally, the court is also required to consider the child's relationship by blood, meaning DNA, or through an adoption order between the child and the people who are applying for custody. This gives biological or adoptive parents a slight advantage over other people who are not as closely related to the child. judges are also specifically required to consider the issue of domestic violence. If a parent has exposed a child to domestic violence, then that parent will have a much harder time getting custody of the child, possibly even getting time with the child. Note that in all these factors that judges and arbitrators are required to consider, what a parent wants is not a consideration. A parent's schedule or financial circumstances are also not factors that the judge takes into account. All that is important is what is in the child's best interest, and that is what the parent should be focusing on in court if they have to go there, which usually means they're not focusing on their child's interests. Thank you for listening. I hope you found this podcast interesting and informative. My name is John Schumann. I am a family lawyer in Toronto at Devery Smith Frank, LLP. You can reach me at www.deverylaw.ca, www.deverylaw.ca, or by calling 416-446-5847. We'll get together soon for another podcast.